All right, here we go. Legendary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, July 10th, 2022. July 10th, 2022. So, July 3rd, of course, was the last time I was on the air, the day before the Highland Park incident that just unfolded on the 246th, July 4th, 66, 246. I mentioned that on the broadcast talking with Giuseppe and Scorpio. And, yep, they decided to do an op, 246th anniversary there, and got this little Cremo character, a real jaded little guy, you know, little Italian kid. You know, I was over at my mom's house, and she had CNN on while they were going crazy over this Highland Park thing. And I was just watching for a second just to see the operation unfold, and this character named Larry Bloom, so-called eyewitness to this thing. And what's crazy is the interviewer on Cheka News Network, you know, asking him about this, and he was just like, well, I'm surprised that nothing, it hasn't happened yet due to the demographics of our town, Highland Park, insinuating that due to the fact that there's a bunch of Jews up there, he had been surprised that there wasn't some sort of operation there previously. Kind of interesting. Now then, right after, and then the guy's kind of laughing, and I'm sitting here, and this is live on CNN. This guy's sitting here kind of in his study at his house or whatever, and he's laughing, like smiling and kind of giggling during this, his, you know, testimony. And I'm looking up this other, that's one of the things I forgot to do, K-A-Y-E-Y-E-M, Juliet K-M. Now this this girl comes on after Mr. Bloom, okay? And I could tell that she really looks tribish to me, okay? Lebanese parents, born in L.A. to Lebanese parents, graduated from Harvard, okay? And she's a lawyer, former government official and author, host of the WGBH podcast, The Skiff. If we know what a skiff is, that's very interesting. National security analyst for CNN, blah, 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 blah. Belfer lecturer in international security at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, and member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Pacific Council on International Policy. So she was the Assistant Secretary for Intergovernmental Affairs in the USDHS and the Obama administration. Extensive background in terrorism and national security affairs. Prior to her federal position, she was Massachusetts' first Undersecretary for Homeland Security. Probably was involved with the old, good old Boston bombing, if you know what I'm saying. And we know that some of these Lebanese folks work closely with the Israelis on a lot of operations. So I'm not saying she's a crypto or anything. I don't know. But you can get into she ran for governor in 2014. senior advisor now NSO Group in Washington Post controversy. She's a senior advisor to NSO Group, an Israeli technology firm known for its Pegasus spying tool. Company's been reported to provide spying software that has been used in targeted attacks against human rights activists and journalists in various countries. Played a role in the murder of Saudi dissident Jamal Khashoggi. On October 21st, 2019, Khayyam was hired as an opinion contributor by the Washington Post, blah, 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 blah. So she's all balls deep with Israelis and Pegasus and all that good stuff, NSO Group. So she was on right after Mr. Bloom. So you can see how this op, kind of interesting. Mr. Producer, if you get clip five ready. You know, a lot of people really look at, and you can look at this when the protocols talk about the management of the lesser brethren also. So you go do an operation right there in Highland Park, Hyme Town, I guess, for Chicago. And, you know, it's just like doing these bombings of Israeli community centers down in South America or somewhere in like in the 50s in Iraq to scare the piss out of the Jews and have them make Aliyah to Israel. I mean, you wonder if there's going to be some Jews that make Aliyah after this Highland Park thing and make, you know, and expand the population over there, because that's what they're looking to keep doing to build this Greater Israel project. As we all been talking about ad nauseum for years, but let's go ahead and listen to a bit of clip five. Go ahead.
But Mr. Harris, jump in here, if you may. The debate right now is surrounding basically the right to bear arms. How would you respond to those who believe that this is their right under the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? Because many do argue that the Second Amendment merely limits how the government can, the limits of the government, that is, in preventing the acquiring of guns, and it does not really constitute an absolute right of bearing arms.
And I want you to look at this in a greater context of things. We have had a Zionist-controlled Hollywood, a Zionist-controlled news media that is the conduit to all of this violence, this imagery into every home in America. And so you wonder why there's a culture of violence? It's because it comes from the Jews in Hollywood. That's where the conduit of violence comes from. That's the source of it. But look behind that even deeper. I want to remind you of the Norway shooting of Mr. Breivik, which followed a week after Norway had agreed to support Palestine. Now you look at Israel just lost their bid to thwart Palestine from being recognized by the United Nations. And now here we go. Here's a revenge killing in the U.S. sponsored by Israel that was that killed all these innocent children. And that is something that Israelis do very, very well. They target the innocent. They target children. They target women. And they avoid the issue because they're angry. They didn't get their way. And now Palestine has standing in the U.N. And Israel is going to be subject to the International Criminal Court. And their leadership is going to be taken to task. So let's connect the dots here about what's going on globally, geopolitically, with Israel involved. Now, they're also calling for a congressional hearing. Now, one thing you can count on with a congressional hearing is there's going to be a cover-up, because all of our congressmen are bought and paid for by the Israel lobby in the U.S. So any truth of this that's going to be is going to be hidden, because Israel wants it hidden, because they are once again the guilty party. You have to realize Israel has been operating death squads in the United States now since Gabby Giffords and Judge Roll were shot in Tucson. There's been other incidences, the Aurora, Colorado shooting. That was, again, Israeli death squads operating in the U.S. I don't know. I am so disgusted with Israel and their behavior on the international stage.
How do you tie in Israel and the Jews to all these killings? I think that's irresponsible to try to label the Jewish community and Israel. I mean, just because the Jews, you could make an argument way back in the 20s and 30s, Goldwyn, Mayer, they own all these Hollywood studios. But in light of what just happened Friday, I think it's grossly irresponsible to turn this into a fight among accusing.
Mr. DeBar, it seems
Jews
you want to jump in as well.
I mean,
quickly have your say.
You can have that conversation later on.
Well, you know, I mean, that's disgusting what you think, but I watch the filth that Hollywood produces, the filth that comes out of Hollywood.
Guys.
Hollywood is Jewish-owned and Jewish-controlled, and they spew filth and they spew violence out.
Mr. Harris, let Mr. DeBar also respond. He wants to jump in.
Taking guns away from law-abiding Americans is pointless. The culture, as we're talking about here, is Jewish-inspired, comes out of Hollywood, comes out of the Jewish-controlled news media. It comes up, our Congress is bought and paid for by Congress. Look at who the major donors are. 70% of the money comes out of corporations that are Zionist Jewish controlled. Let's put credit where credit is due. And this goes squarely on the Jewish lobby. And let's look at our gun control who want to take the guns away. Feinstein, Schumer, Boxer, those are all the ones. Those are all Jewish senators, all Jewish people who want to take guns away from normal, law-abiding, middle-class Americans who have a right under this Constitution to do it. They've been trying to destroy this country and trying to destroy this Constitution for the last 70 years since the Frankfurt School came over here from Germany. And I, for one, it's time to push back. We're not going to sit back and take this Zionist-occupied government that we have in this country anymore. It's
okay,
time
Mr.
For us
Jackson,
to have
let's just stick to the issue
to
of
true constitutional.
Right, let
Republic.
Me bring in
let's
Mr. Jackson.
Now this is on State of the Nation, and this is about Highland Park Parade mass shooting and PSYOP. This is why the NWO globalists did it on the 4th of July, and it goes into a goes into a whole litany here, but I'm going to say it go to the bottom line. The NWO criminal cabal is hell-bent on terrorizing the American people using the same Operation Gladio-style mass casualty events that were used across Europe to coerce national governments and manufacture the popular consent necessary for the formation of the European Union. Even a cursory consideration of all the MCEs, mass casualty events, conducted by the U.S. intelligence community, the U.S. Armed Forces, local law enforcement agencies, and NATO's Operation Gladio throughout the USA over the past 6 years indicates that the U.S. citizenry has been under withering attack. Each and every one of these those massacres, both real and fake, has been carried out in collusion with the CIA's Mockingbird media and each respective administration which controlled the U.S. federal government. In other words, both the Democrat and Republican Party, a.k.a. the Uniparty, are deeply involved in this never-ending campaign to destroy the American Republic. Hence, you got this Republican state of Texas, and you've got Greg Abbott and the rest of them go along with the whole thing in Uvalde, okay? And now up there in J.B. Pritzker's Chicago, Highland Park, they do an operation up there, the Uniparty, you see? And they're going to try some more, this is... I mean, we can only imagine what's coming right around the corner next as far as these shooting operations. They're, it talks about in the protocols that they want to wear down populations and make them just submit to whatever they say to get it to all stop. Okay, this is what we're witnessing now. They're wearing the normies down through mass shooting after mass shooting after mass shooting. And then, some of this stuff is just thugs out here acting stupid. And if they shoot more than three people, they call it a mass shooting. That way they can have this large, there's been 390 of these things since 20, blah, 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 blah. But then they pick these ones here that the usual suspects in the media really latch onto and then blow them wide open. These are the ones that we have to really look at with a jaundiced eye due to the fact that we know that pretty much when you see them all get in lockstep, and I use that term purposefully, when one of these incidents or operations transpires, then you really start looking, and then you start seeing anomalies. So I made this note to myself, and this is for people that have the time, which I don't, but the secret. Okay, here's the secret to really get these false flags and these synthetic operations, and then really find the anomalies and the red flags. The first time you hear about, oh my God, there's a mass shooting in Highland Park, if you've got the technological ability and the time, you need to start recording on all of the major channels, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, and then your corporate national media when they break into your soap opera and they start reporting. This is where, and if you can, like in a place like Highland Park, then you go into the Chicago, ABC, CBS, NBC stations. The really good researcher is going to be able to say, okay, look, I'm going to get this footage now when it's fresh, right when this stuff's breaking, because this is when the narrative's changed, the mistakes are made, and so forth and so on. So you're going to be recording national ABC, CBS, NBC. You're going to be recording local, same thing. And then you're going to be recording CNN, MSNBC, Fox. You're going to be like recording about nine things at once. And then you're going to be sitting there just taking in all the data, all right, for the first at least, number of hours, when they're doing all their little interviews for the on-site witnesses and all that stuff. And then you're going to have that stuff. You're going to have that footage. And this is when you could really start to dissect and then find all the goofy things. All right. This is really the way to do it. And the longer you wait to get any of this footage, the more that the possibility of its manipulation. So when you're getting it fresh, if you've got a way to save it, download it, and then you have it, that's the way to really, really catch all. Some people catch AB, some people catch CDE, and some people catch, and I'm talking about different little nuggets that they see, but then you could have it all. A lot of us don't have the time, and we're trying to pay bills and everything else, but the persons that really they've got the time, they've got the resources, they're retired or whatever, and they really wanted to, that's the secret to really deconstructing these operations, is to take in all the media, have it recorded, and then if you got other people around, okay, you watch this and see what you find, and you're looking for numbers, you're looking for numerology, you're looking for symbology, you're looking for people that look out of place, and so forth and so on. But that's really how that kind of just hit me. That's how you really can deconstruct these things on a totality. All right. But yeah, Highland Park, another march towards, unfortunately, this attempt to disarm our population right before the next shoes are here to drop, as far as, let's just say, civil unrest. Let's say another sort of pandemic operation right here before these midterms, the engineered energy crisis, the engineered famine coming. Dane Wigington video about them purposefully drilling under Lake Mead and draining it on purpose went viral this week, to where I watched it and it's just like, and I'm not going to play it, but these drilling machines, and I mean, we've got some we've got some people in charge and minions of theirs that would do some evil like this that's just so crazy and over the top that it really just baffles the mind. It makes you wonder, you know, how this many people could commit number one mass murder. I mean, the amount of stimuli here when you're digging through media and about the number of people dying right now. You know, all of these people, these celebrities, athletes, just people collapsing. It's insane. You know, these predictions that, hey, Social Security is going to be going belly up in the next number of years, Medicare, same thing, and this was all basically a design to liquidate the poor, the elderly, especially, you know, to from continuing to collect. They're living longer than the planners want them to, and so therefore, you know, and all these cancers, these strange cancers and so forth. I mean, this is really, really tough to kind of witness. This transgender monkey research Fauci and these goons have been involved in over the years. You know, this is all kind of dripping out. Dealing with, you know, the atrazine and the frogs, okay, that's bad, but then this stuff coming out about they're doing this to primates, monkeys, and it really kind of just set my nerve off. And I'm like, look at the vaccine schedule for these children and how it just keeps increasing and increasing and increasing. And then the transgender explosion, the femininity of the boys exploding, the masculinity of the girls exploding. This is linked. I'll guarantee you this is linked. This research that they were doing over the years with the primates, tinkering with their genders and so forth and hormones, and this is all to do it to the humans. This is part of the transhuman. You know, you got transgender, transhuman agenda, depopulation agenda, and they're all linked. Okay, you got women cutting their breasts off, trying to sew on, you know, little fake members, and you got guys getting fake boobs and taking all these female hormones, and some of them are cutting their members off, others are not, but the, you know, the probability of one of these guys that grew up already feminine due to the food, the water, the vaccines and everything else, the likelihood that they're going to have children later on is severely diminished. And so moving on, but that really kind of that research coming out being exposed over the last week or so, very, very interesting. And I was like, yep, that all has to do with doing this to the kids. So everybody and their brothers talked about the Guidestones, you know, and everybody wants to talk about the footage. And, you know, I don't even, you know, with the CGI, with the deep fakes, with the abilities of these characters to fake footage, I've heard so many people just acting like, oh, that footage, well, the flash here, how do you even know that that's real footage? I mean, we got to get smart about this. People are talking about the white hats took over CERN and they blew the Guidestones, and other theories, basically, that the depopulation now has gone operational. We're in the 2022, we're in the Deagle swing of things, so to speak, to where we're going to supposed to lose a good, 150 million in the next 3 years, according to those Deagle projections. Now, Deagle projections aren't, the gospel. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it sure fits, doesn't it? So the depopulation going fully operational, they don't need those things around sitting there talking about sustainable and in balance with nature, 500 million number up there. So this could be evidence cleanup now that the operation is live. You could look at it that way, too. So everybody's like, oh, yeah, the guide stones. Well, guess what? They might have knocked him down. I mean, there's already enough documentation on the guide stones, enough articles written about them, enough documentaries and videos and so forth. Christian Pinto did a pretty good one, kind of a biblical, viewpoint. There's people saying that the white hats in our government, military, the Q crowd did it. Okay. Now, it happened on July 6th, right? 7:06. And so I was listening to X22 and they were talking about it, and I'm not going to play it, but it's interesting. They talked about post 7:06, okay, due to the fact that it happened on 7:06. And it's interesting, and I've got it pulled up on my tablet right now. And this was dropped on February 10th, 2018, at 3:44 a.m., 25 seconds. Okay, and this was, back when Trump was president and everything else. But there's only it's only three characters, okay? And Q drops 7:06, and it's brackets with a hyphen in the middle, okay? A little hyphen in the middle, and so they're saying that is kind of a picture of the guide stones, and you can look at that yourself. Kind of interesting. There's a whole swath of people talking about post 7:06 and all this stuff, and kind of fascinating. And then a lot of people were talking about 4:03 and 33 as far as the time on this camera. Well, 7 and 6 is a 13. Okay. July 6th, that's a 13. And then 4:03:33, that is also a 13. So a lot of people get into the number 33, but they weren't looking at adding all the numbers up, and that all adds up to 13. And then this is a very important occultic number, okay, Revelation 13, where the mark of the beast is and so forth and so on. But 13 has been known, the number of a coven. And so forth and so on. And so in the dark occultic circles. So I always look for 13s as well. And so that all kind of adds up to 13. You got a couple 13s there. I thought we were going into a break, but Mr. Producer, did we miss the break? But anyway. Let's see here. Shinzo Abe. Oh, okay, we're taking the break a little late. Oh, here we go. All right. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break. I can be its master. I will perfect my own race of people that will survive disaster.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
All right, we're back. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So much can happen in 1 week. I mean, everybody's just been blown away. It just seems like a month ago that this whole Highland Park thing went down. It's like every day a cascade, boom, cascading sequence of events. How long have I been saying that on the air? Years? And now it's just the pace. It's just overwhelming. Fascinating. I'm trying not to get put in a place mentally and spiritually to where I just go to that a very dark place. I have to look for and keep remembering about the light at the end of this tunnel and this this period I've been waiting for since I was a young man. And it's like you almost have to slap yourself to make yourself wake up and realize, man, this is happening. This whole tribulation period is really at our doorstep here. And these jerks are really going for it. They really want to put this depopulation thing into overdrive. They want us dead. I mean, 100 countries, you name it, the Netherlands, Sri Lanka, Panama, I mean, everywhere. This, you know, and some people, oh, the uprising has begun. This is artificial. This is done to us by turning off the spigot of the world economy purposefully to cause misery, death, murder, mayhem. I mean, the scum in Washington, D.C. that are following these orders, willing to do this to their fellow man. And we've got these people languishing in these gulags in D.C. from the January 6th. I mean, think about it now. Think about it. And look, they want everybody to run in the arms of Trump and the fake Republicans. And I know it. And you wonder what would have happened, you know, everybody's hindsighting 2020 and wondering what would have happened if, you know, but these evil ones have put us into a place where now they're bombing natural gas plants, blowing these things up. So I was talking about Shinzo Abe before the break, and a lot of people are, you know, I was listening to Dr. Fetzer with Scorpio and Giuseppe yesterday, and there's a lot of the people I follow on BitChute are saying it, you know, this is a hoax and so forth and so on. And so I wrote some things down about Shinzo Abe. So the media immediately started kind of, let's just say, trashing him as a polarizing figure and blah, 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 blah. The Chinese really disliked this dude due to the fact that he transformed, let's just say, Japanese government and let the Japanese start to rebuild their military. You know, the Chinese, don't forget about what happened in World War II. The Japanese did some hardcore things. So allegedly Shinzo Abe was talking about defending Taiwan quite extensively over the last number of months and years so forth. So the Chinese were happy with him there. So you could say, was this some sort of a Chinese op? Or if it was a hoax, is he in hiding now? Interesting kind of glass half full, half empty thing. Ken sent me, assassinated Japanese PM didn't follow WEF orders, didn't mandate vaccines, sent 1.6 millions of doses back, and gave the citizens ivermectin. Makes sense now. You got that angle that Shinzo Abe pissed off the world rulers, and so therefore he was taken out of the picture there. I looked at these pictures of the duct taped up little makeshift gun that he alleged this character of a so-called Navy vet allegedly used to take out Mr. Abe. You know, a lot of this is hard to really, really discern right now. This just happened. Pretty wild. You know, I mean, a lot of things happen in 1 week. Holy cow. MonkeyWorks is claiming that the Russians and the Chinese are amassing troops in South America right now. A lot of people follow MonkeyWorks and follows all the aircraft movements and all this stuff. So claiming that. Interesting. We got a couple callers breaking in. Earl in Texas. Earl, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking my call. A few weeks ago, I had called you, and you had spoke about the Marine Corps Commandant supporting the Bagot movement.
Well, The Marine Corps Twitter profile is what I said. The Marine Corps Commandant was supporting the vaccine stuff.
So the Marine Corps Commandant was not supporting the lifestyle of the faggot?
Well, I'm saying he probably had to sign off on letting that tweet go out with the rainbow bullets on the helmet, but I didn't really say that. I said the Marine Corps Twitter profile, you see what I'm saying? He probably had to sign off on it, I'm sure. I mean, something that crazy that was going to piss off the whole Marine Corps. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, if I could, it's a very brief correspondence to him on that subject.
Yeah.
I had indicated, General Berger, please explain the reasoning why you support a lifestyle which both violates the laws of nature and has declared war on nature's God. Your support of this activity, what is called gay pride, which is sinful because it is not natural due to the fact it cannot procreate, is not only disgraceful, but has also placed you in that same state of war against Christ, who is mentioned on page 498 of the Guidebook for Marines. Due to the irrefutable facts that Christianity is America's foundation plot, Trinity versus U.S., the Bible clearly demonstrates the Lord of hosts had destroyed the perverted lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah that you are supporting with the homosexual movement. Again, I ask, what is your reasoning? Why are you so inclined to help promote the destruction of our nation? Also, whatever happened to the concept of moral character and Marine Corps green? Myself and many others consider your actions as not only a disgrace to the Corps, but to our country and its foundation. And I signed off. And that was sent out on the 24th of June. I have not received a reply yet. But I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, I bet you're not going to get a reply either.
Well,
yeah.
I'm hoping I do. And, you know, we could bring it on further at that particular point in time.
Yeah, but, well, that's good. Yeah. All right, I appreciate that.
I appreciate your program and all your intel that you have. And, again, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Earl, take care. That was an excellent letter to send to the good old David Berger, Commandant Berger. David in California, breaking into the program. What's up, David?
Oh, thanks, Robert. Yeah, I was. I'm glad you raised Prime Minister Abe there. You know, kind of tribute to him. I was pretty involved in, you know, monitoring the nuclear meltdown at Fukushima, and Abe was. I think he was only in office like 2 days before that tsunami and nuclear meltdown started to happen, and. He was really incredibly wise about making sure that, you know, there was stability because, my God, you know, when you, if you know about that nuclear power plant up there that owned Fukushima, it was called TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power.
Right.
And it turned out that it was a blue chip of blue chip stocks. So it was like the Rockefellers and the, you know, the richest of the richest invested in TEPCO. And those old boys didn't want to have to pay for it. And Abe was incredibly, not just wise, but I'll use the word deft in dealing with those rich SOBs. Because they not only didn't want to admit what had happened, it took something like 3 months before they admitted that the roof of one of those buildings blew off and shot pieces miles away. And Abe was, he was pretty clever in being able to face off against those old boys. And, you know, the world would be a much, well, we're in a lot of danger still from those old boys because they want to be as cheap as possible in dealing with the cleanup. They want to dump all this radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean and have it swirl all the way up to Alaska, down Seattle, Portland, the California coastline, and get mixed all through the Pacific.
Well,
and,
that's 11 years. That was 11 years it's been happening.
Sure, yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad you raised him. The other thing I was going to raise, and I guess that previous caller who was, you know, so hung up on religion, you know, America, if you think about what is a fiscal conservative, somebody that watches their pennies, they're not, you know, they're not like gamblers. A fiscal conservative is interested in making sure that the taxpayer gets their dollar's worth and that American taxes don't get stolen and just wasted. I mean, that was the whole principle of getting rid of King George III. It was discovered that old 1776 King George III was stealing the taxes and having a party with it. And he wasn't reinvesting in the 13 colonies. He was just giving it to the, you know, the fat man on the hill, you know, the house on the hill, and that they were going to basically run America like it was a colony. And so we, the people, got together and decided that we could run our own lives, thank you, and we don't need, you know, stinking kings. And, you know, you start looking at Russia today. Those oligarchs are actually worse than kings because at least a king pretended that God put him in charge. But an oligarch doesn't even pretend that. An oligarch just says, I got so much money, you can't compete against me. Screw you. I got mine. Screw you. And, you know, so the whole principle of what is a republic, what is a an institution of a, you know, whether it's a simple republic, which is about as bare bones as you can get, or a democracy when the average person really gets a voice in the whole matter. And so, yeah, that idea of Abe being able to compete against rich people and the situation today where, you know, the oligarchs of America, the oligarchs of Russia, the oligarchs of the world are trying to snap up America at bargain prices. You know, I heard a lot of the other talk shows talking today about the high, you know, not just high prices from the supply chain, but the idea that American housing rents are going up insanely high. The average person doesn't seem to have an ability to buy a house anymore because they are actually being bought up by kingdoms. And the idea that 1776, you know, our founding fathers would be rolling in their graves if they thought that kings were buying up America as fast as possible. And they are. And, you know, so this idea that... you know, have you kept up with Jared Kushner's $2 billion bribe from the king of or the prince of Saudi Arabia, the guy that goes by Mr. Bonesaw?
Well, you know, Jared is a Chabad Lubavitch mafioso, and he's got his own agenda, and that agenda is to put the United States, when he had the chance, into the service of creating this, let's just say, new world in the Middle East, which is the Wahhabis and the Zionists kind of joined at the hip and creating this new tech world. You know, that big city that the Saudi kingdom's building, this massive smart city, and then the Greater Israel project. And so you got Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Israel that want to really transform the Middle East, and people like you know, Syria, the people in Yemen and so forth, they're going to all get crushed if they have their way. And so we'll see how this goes. But I don't like the Saudis and the Israelis being strange bedfellows, probably right. due to the fact that a lot of the House of Saud are crypto-Jewish. It's pretty fascinating to watch this this alignment happening in the Middle East, where, you know, Iran might be getting brought into BRICS. Kind of, you know, whether you believe BRICS is real or not, you know, there's a lot here. But
well, you know, it's interesting you raise that, because, you know, if you get into the very concept of money, it used to be a reflection of your reputation. You know, if you were a hard worker, if you were clever, if you, you know, you would have money based upon your good reputation. If you had a lousy reputation, you'd have to steal it. And nowadays, so many thieves have stolen the money that basically an honest reputation is not measured much.
Well, you know how they stole the money is they just printed it into oblivion.
Subprime. And this is why I was raising
Well, no,
the
I mean,
idea
think about the money supply. There's more money that's been printed in like the last 3 years than in the history of the country. Like trillions they've thrown on digital entries into the Federal Reserve.
Well, that's true because of the COVID. Yeah, well, I mean,
no,
because of COVID.
They created the money anyway.
You're familiar with the difference between specie and fiat money?
I don't want to get into a long thing here with you, David. I've got a lot to cover, and so I've given you enough time.
Well, I mean, it's like
Nice day, David. I'll holler at you later. Got a lot to cover, and I can't give you half the broadcast. But we're in big trouble. The entire world has started to look at the dollar and say, "You guys are clowns. You've wrecked the entire global economy, and it's going to all come home to roost." And then here we go on to the blockchain, which is your beast system. And that's really where they want to go. Central bank digital currencies. You can talk about fiat, blah, 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 blah. But the next thing to hit is the Bank of International Settlements and all these characters going on these central bank digital blockchain systems. No privacy, no nothing. It's all going to be hooked in through your 5G. Your little vaccines and everything else, total monitoring, panopticon level surveillance, and that's where it's all going. So anyway, Mr. Producer, get clip 6 ready. I didn't play this one from last week, but it's about this food collapse all by design. Let's go ahead and listen to a couple minutes of this.
November of 2015, 65 international policymakers, academics, business, and thought leaders gathered at the World Wildlife Fund's headquarters in Washington, D.C. Listen to this, to play a game of how the world would respond to a future food crisis. Food chain reaction crisis simulation ends with global carbon tax. I am not joking. The game took the players from the year 2020 to 2030. What a coincidence, right? As it was projected, the decade brought two major food crises, with prices approaching 400% of the long-term average, a raft of climate-related extreme weather events, governments toppling in Pakistan and Ukraine, and famine and refugee crises in Bangladesh, Myanmar, Chad, and Sudan. Over 2 days, the players divided into teams for Africa, Brazil, China, the EU, India, and U.S. International businesses and investors and multilateral institutions crafted their policy responses as delegations engaged in intensive negotiations. Cooperation mostly won the day over the short-term individual advantage. Teams pledged to build international information networks and early warning systems on hunger and crops together. Invest jointly in smart agricultural technology and build up global food stocks as a buffer against climate shocks. Listen to this now. In the face of a steep price spike with looming global food shortages in 2022, the EU at one point suspended its environmental rules for agriculture and introduced a tax on meat. Both measures were quickly reversed in 2025 as harvest went back to normal and tensions eased in the hypothetical universe. The most eye-catching result, however, was a deal between the U.S., the EU, India, and China, standing in for the top 20 greenhouse gas emitters, to institute a global carbon tax and cap CO2 emissions in 2030. You cannot make this up. Almost like it was planned.
All right, so you get the gist of it. Just like every other operation that has pounded us over the last number of years. These things have all been coordinated for a significant period of time beforehand. Remember the SPARS 2025, 2028 stuff, and you know, Event 201 goes live right at the same time that the COVID thing goes live, but then, you know, Operation Lockstep and all of this stuff, how these guys, and look at all the pre-planning before 9/11. This stuff goes decades back. It's just really, really sick that these people could be this wicked and not even be fearful for their souls for what they do. This psychopathy thing, it really parallels demonic influence, I believe, in this person's life. Conscience seared as with a hot iron. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
Rocks and a mortar lies out in the dirt. They laid me this path, no direction but hurt.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.